everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an item of interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as they are listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question or C for comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. I would like to welcome the trust here this evening, and you have 10 minutes to give us your presentation. Sorry, any apologies first?
Thank you all indeed. From Arthur Andrews, Stephen Blue, Kate Murphy, and Councillor Tim Lickman. Any more to tell? If there's any more,
please. Apologies from Councillor Buck.
Any declarations of interest? In an update from the Southern Trust. Sorry, you have 10 minutes for the presentation.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Maria O'Kane, Chief Executive of the Southern Trust. There are two other senior staff here on the call with me. Trudy, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, good evening. My name's Trudy Reid. I'm the Director of Medicine Law and Scheduled Care.
Sorry, there are four of us. Andrea?
Hello, good afternoon. I'm Andrea Turbitt. I'm here on behalf of Leslie Lehman, Director of Performance and Reform, and I'm one of the heads of planning in the Trust.
Thanks, Andrea. And then Stephen?
Stephen Austin, Medical Director in Southern Trust.
Okay. All right. I think we have not brought slides as such, okay, but we're happy to take a few questions. But what I will do is I start to describe to you some of the challenges we've been facing in Daisy Hill and in the Trust generally, because I'm sure you're interested in all of it, and then give an opportunity for the others to add to all of that. And then if you want, we can take a few questions at the end within our 10 minutes. So it has been well publicised in recent times just the enormous pressure that the health service is under, and certainly for local hospitals such as Daisy Hill, that has been a tremendous strain in addition to all of the rest of the health service network across Northern Ireland. I think what's been well publicised as well is that we've had some instability with our medical staffing in relation to our consultants recently. And just to emphasise, we have well-staffed emergency department paediatrics, OBS and gynae, surgery in terms of the elective surgery provision and mental health on the site. We certainly provide comprehensive services there in relation to all of those areas every day. We have a well-functioning cardiology and renal provision. And the areas that we were running into difficulties were specifically around respiratory and gastrointestinal medicine. So that's stuff to do with your lungs and stuff to do with your guts, essentially, to put it bluntly. And again, that was down to some of the recent changes in staffing. So what we realised then in relation to that, and it's been well publicised, some of that was to do with two of our consultants moving to another trust, another two moving either across the border or into private practice, another retiring and another on sabbatical for a period of time. That is part of what has destabilised us. So on the basis of all of that, and again, it was well publicised through trust board and the media, what we moved to do then was to implement a stabilisation plan to get us through the next few months, while we then design the winter plan and then a longer term delivery plan for Daisy Hill. So all of that work is ongoing at the minute, and certainly we are reorganising what we do, and we provide everything that we provide it before, so the patient turning up at the door will not notice any difference, but we're doing it in a different way. Other aspect of all of that is that it has given us an opportunity, I think, to really drive up the areas that I know were of interest to general practice and the public in particular. And I mean, we're aware that obviously the situation in South Armagh in particular in relation to general practice is wobbly. And we were very mindful of that in terms of trying to support not just secondary care, but primary care. So some of the changes we're in the process of implementing are increasing our acute care at home capacity as an alternative for hospital admission. And certainly among the frail elderly, that is always our go-to position if possible, because the outcomes are much better for you as a frail elderly person. You know, if you don't need to be in hospital and you can be managed at home, that certainly provides better outcomes. And also then in terms of providing our ambulatory services. So that's basically same day assessment and diagnostics on the Daisy Hill site, so that fewer people should have to wait in the emergency department for investigation or follow through. So that's some of the work that's gone on. And we're also very mindful, obviously, that, you know, part of the reason that we have been under such pressure over the winter and continue to be is because of the numbers of delayed discharges in hospital. So we've offered posts to 50 domiciliary care workers in the Newry and Mourne area to try and increase our community capacity so that people can be more easily discharged. Because if we had all of the people who were delayed discharges in hospital discharged, we wouldn't have any ED waits. And that's the same in every trust in Northern Ireland. Because it usually equates that the number of people who are delayed is almost exactly the same as the numbers that we have waiting in our emergency department on any given day. So we know what the solution to all of this is. And it's not necessarily more beds, and it's not necessarily a bigger emergency department. It's actually getting patients safely discharged at the right time. You'll know as well that part of this development, in terms of how we develop the Daisy Hill site in particular, has been in relation to the purchase of Monaghan Row. So we spent 1.1 million on that, buying the building off yourselves. And again, we've started to move into that. We have had our own estates people in there reorganising some of that, and some of our staff have already started to make the transition across. And as they do that, we'll be able to then provide more space for clinical services on the original Daisy Hill site. But we see this as a huge asset in terms of the estate, you know, as we develop all of that. And then to support all of this as well, we have a mobile scanning, MRI scanning unit, which is arriving on the Daisy Hill site, and we hope to have operational by the end of July. And also what we've done is increased our internal ambulance transfer, so that actually for any of the patients that we have, and I mean every hospital in Northern Ireland is exactly the same, if we have to transfer patients from one hospital to another for different reasons, then we've increased the capacity of that to make sure that we are keeping as much pressure as possible off NIOS. And I've had discussions with Michael Bloomfield and others in relation to all of this, and they're aware of what we're actually doing. So in a nutshell, that's where we are in relation to Daisy Hill. I think just the bigger, you know, the bigger picture in relation to all of this is that this process is not out of keeping with the Bengoa approach to modernising health services in Northern Ireland. You know, there's no reason that Daisy Hill can't be a modern functioning hospital like all the others. It's really important it doesn't get left behind. And also, I think, you know, understanding the context that, you know, we are ring fencing money to put to this within our existing budget, but we are under huge financial restraints in relation to our own health budget internally. So our budgetary gap at this point in time is 42.5 million between now and the end of March next year. So this will not be without pain, but certainly in terms of making any of these changes, we don't see this as a means of saving money, and that's not how this is being used. This is very much about stabilising the system on the Daisy Hill site so that we can continue to provide good solid services well into the future. Now, Trudy, you're the operational manager for all of acute medicine and unscheduled care across the Southern Trust. I wonder if you just want to add to any of that.
Maria, I think whenever we look at Daisy Hill at the minute, while it presents some challenges, it presents a lot of opportunities for us to review how we provide modern medicine, and that's by ensuring that the right patient is in the right place, care for the right professionals at the right time. And that's not always an acute site. And while I manage acute medicine, it sounds a bit odd that I wouldn't want more hospital beds, but what I want is the right patient in the right place. So it is using all of our ambulatory care services. So the provision of short stay emergency department beds and clinical decision making beds in the emergency department is a real plus for us to help prevent admissions and get people home safely. The provision of increased acute care at home will care for our most vulnerable and elderly patients in their home environment, providing hospital quality care at home. The availability of intravenous antibiotics and other medications are available to patients in their own home. And then making sure that those patients who are in acute hospital bed are for their shortest period of time so that they don't become deconditioned, get a healthcare associated infection, have a fall, which increases their length of stay and actually their outcomes. So it is working with patients and their families to ensure safe and effective discharge home at the earliest possible time. So there are, you know, while we have great challenges, there are great opportunities for us to modernise our healthcare.
Stephen, I don't want to know if you want to make a couple of comments and then we can take, for the few remaining minutes that are left, we can take some questions if that's okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I suppose the comments that I think I would like to make are really three things. One is that I think we've had a really strong focus on the safety and quality of care for patients. And I think that's one of the things that's driving that we make sure that services we have are safest for the maximum number of patients and that the quality of care is as good as we can make it. And I suppose the second thing is about the emphasis on patient outcomes. It's something we're really, really passionate about. And it's making sure we get the best outcomes for patients as well. And a lot of the principle and the changes have been focused on that. And I suppose it really sums it all up with the idea of the right care, the right place for the right time for patients. It's really, really important that we have that and that the patient perspective is taken on board, but also thinking about the treatments, the patient get the right treatment, but also that they have the minimal amount of time that they have to spend away from homes and family and will have to spend their lives actually in a hospital bed when they could be at home with family, friends, or in whatever type of care that they need, but it's actually not in a hospital bed, but it's actually where they can benefit from their life and get more out of that rather than spending time waiting in a hospital. So we've been really focused on that as well.
Okay, thanks, Stephen. We're happy to take a few questions before the end of our 10 minutes. I'm not sure just exactly how much time we've left. Thank you.
I'm sorry, it's 10 minutes for your presentation. The meeting actually for an hour. Thank you for your presentation. I'm now going to take some of my colleagues in. I'm going to take questions in threes and then allow you to give answers if that's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor McAvoy.
Thank you. And I'll calm down the question if that's okay. So really, we all know Daisy Hill by Parker after, and we think it's important from 7 to stabilise the current crisis at the hospital. The issues caused in the current crisis have been caused by the troubling of management of the hospital within the Southern Trust. There is now zero confidence among staff and among the community in Moore and Moore area, which I represent in the trust management. Sinn Féin then has told the permanent executive that the department must step in urgently to stabilise services in the short term and provide a clear plan to ensure services for the future. We need to have stability, security and certainty at the hospital so that staff can be recruited to replace those lost by the trust. We need an executive reform to get around the table with other parties and work together to tackle the issue in our health service. The families, and particularly the elderly and vulnerable people that I represent, are deeply concerned with the ongoing situation of daily health. This situation, along with frighteningly long ambulance wait times, has caused a huge anxiety locally, and people need reassurance. The ambulance service from Carney and response times in Mary Warren and Downey are worse than the north. This reality exacerbates the consequences of the latest development. Communities in South Down have suffered hands, particularly in areas like Annalong and the wider Bourne area, these services are stripped away. The Trust recognises the importance of the golden hour when it comes to stroke and how critical the window is for frequent response time. So, following on from that, I would ask, in the event of having a stroke, will patients be taken directly to the likes of Queen Avenue Area Hospital? And if so, what are the Trust doing to recruit and obtain staff and reassurance for those patients in the Mourne and wider South Down area that an ambulance will reach them on time? Thank you.
I have comments as well and questions in the world that I very much. While we do welcome the new stabilisation plan for Daisy Hill as a better outcome than those proposed previously, there is an area which I do have concerns about, which Leanne has alluded to. In the stabilisation plan, you refer to the new system for dealing with stroke patients. Those that present themselves at Daisy Hill will be treated on site, while those who call an ambulance will be taken directly to other hospitals. Our ambulance crews do amazing work, saving lives every day in our communities. But a decade of Tory cuts have left them, like many parts of our health service, stretched to the breaking point. We've seen the real tragic impact of this last year when my own family member, a cousin of mine, Toby Keenan, died on the street while waiting on an ambulance. With this particular incident in mind, along with the well-documented importance of rapid treatment for stroke patients, I want to ask, how can this pathway deliver good outcomes for stroke patients in South Armagh, given the time it will take an ambulance to get to the patient before then having to travel to another hospital such as Craig Avon? How is the decision made to determine what hospital stroke patients will be referred to? And what efforts are currently being made for bringing staff to fill the stroke vacancies at Daisy Hill? Thank you.
Thanks, Your Mother. Do you have a comment or question?
Future. Ensuring the policy that we will in the stabilisation plan means to ensure the services are protected at Daisy Hill. Daisy Hill and the services it delivers are vital not only to our communities in Gary City, South Wales, but to the whole health service as a whole, and I believe it's a key centre of hospitals in all Ireland health service. The current difficulties it faces are concerning and disappointing, especially given the number of recent positive developments for the hospital. The Trust needs to now rebuild the confidence of both the staff and the community with clear open communication and with real action and to secure these in the future. That in mind, I want to raise the question of a number of constituents, including staff at the hospital, have brought to my attention. Can you give a 100% assurance that the emergency department at Daisy Hill is not under threat? This is something that the entire community is very nervous about. Part of the stabilisation proposal is a 28-bed acute medical unit with an acute 6-bed high dependency unit. A lot of people have been contacting us in relation to the HDU and the proposal to integrate 6 HDU beds into the medical unit mentioned. Staff have concerns that this is a move towards closing Daisy Hill's HDU, so I would like to ask, is the 6-bed proposal a scaling back of the original HDU provision at Daisy Hill? How will the HDU beds be staffed, i.e. will existing HDU staff be working hours or will they be deployed? When the stabilisation plan is welcome, get us back on track in the short term, What steps are being taken now to prepare for the inevitable winter pressures that will come later in the year?
Just give you a chance now to come back for those questions, please. You're on mute,
Marie. I can start off and then others can join in. So I think the opening statement that Councillor McAvoy made was about the mismanagement of the Southern Trust and Daisy Hill, right? Can I just put this in perspective, right? It's the same senior management team that manages the rest of the system as manages general internal medicine on the Daisy Hill site, right? And we don't have any difficulties in the other areas. I mean, we would like them to be bigger and better than they are. But just to localise this, this is to do with a certain group of providers within a much, much bigger system. You know, it's a tiny percentage of what we actually do. But just to put that in perspective. So, you know, and that's really important because overgeneralizations, I think, are not helpful. And I think, you know, it undermines a lot of the work that goes on, particularly by a lot of staff. So I just want to put that back in perspective because it's easier to throw these words out of context without actually thinking of the impact that they're actually having. So that's the first thing. We know about the ambulance response times in South Armagh and South Down. And again, that's part of the discussions that we have with NIAS in relation to this. And again, it's part of the reason that we have doubled up in our internal ambulance provision and extended it even beyond that to 24 hours a day to try and ease the pressure on them. And that would have been a good thing to do regardless of whether we were making changes to Daisy Hill or not. So again, you know, Michael Bloomfield and I, as I say, have discussed this, and we do realise that they are under significant pressure in that area, and part of what we're doing is to try and alleviate all of that. The other thing to say is the golden hour around stroke is a complete misnomer, right? There is no golden hour around stroke. It's a golden hour around trauma. Obviously, what we want, and the two things get conflated all the time, so it's really important that we're precise in our language, I think, when we're describing these things, okay? So, the issue in relation to stroke is that you will know that there was a stroke strategy that was suggested in Northern Ireland, I think, 5-6 years ago. It was never delivered on because government couldn't decide. So we are now left with this, I think, combination of what seems right and not. If you listen to the experts on stroke, they would say that it all should be centralised. Because they feel that everybody should have access to everything all of the time. We know from a practical point of view that is really, really difficult. We also know that in order to try and provide as much for as many people as possible, what we've had to do is take a split approach in terms of how we provide stroke services on the Daisy Hill site. So anyone who rings a 999 ambulance, because we're not sure where they are in the system, they're taken to Craigavon, right? For those who come to Daisy Hill as walk-ins, they're assessed. And again, you know, the whole excitement always about stroke is about whether or not somebody needs license or not. The percentage of patients who need license who present with stroke symptoms is sitting at less than 20%. So fewer than 1 in 5 patients who present with stroke symptoms actually need license. And what we do is get them assessed, stabilised, they're lysed if they need it, and then they're transferred or managed on the site. So that has been the safest way that we have managed in terms of satisfying not just our experts, but the public in relation to how we actually provide. OK, the comment that Councillor Finnegan makes about the air ambulance, I think, is important. And again, it's largely charity funded. So again, I can imagine they will be under significant pressure probably in the current financial situation because of all of that. The stroke vacancies in Daisy Hill, I think at this point in time, we're certainly recruiting. But one of the difficulties in Northern Ireland over the last number of years has been that the tendency has been to train in subspecialties rather than general provision. So it means that there are fewer stroke consultants around than there would have been in the past. And that's an issue for everybody across Northern Ireland. But certainly we continue to try to recruit to those places. You know, at any time of the day or night, if anybody presents, we can get access to a stroke opinion. It may not necessarily be a doctor standing on site who is a stroke physician, but we can certainly access that. But we will certainly continue to try and increase the stroke provision on the Daisy Hill site and, in fact, across the whole of the Southern Trust. The HDU beds, I think, the picture that you've been given isn't accurate. But Trudy, I know that you know about this intimately, and you might want to just describe all of that. And then just before we come to the end of what I was going to say then, in relation to winter pressures, we have three plans. So one of them is the stabilisation plan. The next plan that we're in the process of working our way through is the winter plan. And then the last plan will be the longer stabilisation plan for Daisy Hill. So we are acutely aware that the winter will not be that far away, and we know about the demands in relation to all of that, so we have already started planning for that. Trudy, do you want to maybe talk about the HDU beds, as they're called? Yeah, thank you.
So the higher dependency beds in Daisy Hill are currently on the third floor, and as part of our contingency arrangements for the short-term stabilisation, is that those beds and the nursing staff will move to the medical floor, so that the medical staff will be available on the ward during the day and night to manage those patients safely. So keeping them up two floors apart does add response time and additional medical cover to look after those patients. So as part of the short-term arrangements, the plan is to move the bed and the nursing staff to the medical floor as part of the patient safety plan to ensure safe management of those patients.
Okay, I think, do you have any further questions?
Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, thanks very much for some of your responses to you. I know that some of the things are always related to the right care in the right place at the right time. And that does bring me to some questions that I need answered in relation to the numbers. Currently, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's in around the early 104. It's the county commission bed number with Daisy Hill, but the reality of the round up the last week was still in the region of 134. And with the 104 commission beds, that raises the winter time from 170 to 180. Where is the right place for the right care at the right time? First of all, those 21 patients plus which then was upgraded to probably 51 when you look at it in reality, and somewhere in the region 75 plus when you look at it in reality from the winter time. So we need a bit of clarity into what happens with those numbers and where they're going to find or how they're going to be being employed, because I think it's a concern in the community that we've had a bed reduction, but the pressures and the demand hasn't decreased. In relation to the HDU beds, there are concerns in relation to what steps have been taken. Bed reduction of things from 10 to what is effectively on a sustainable ward. What steps have been taken, for example, for infection control? What's the nature of the patients that are going to be treated there? And is the plan to take more high dependent patients to take on? In relation to the issues around what we got here in relation to the consultant side of things. For example, exit interviews were had with those consultants. Has the Trust identified any themes or trends in the recent side of their consultants leaving the hospital? In relation to the factors cited for departure that are within the competence of the Trust to address, what actions were taken to mitigate those factors? Factors cited for departure that are beyond the competence of the Trust to address, what representations, if any, as a trust made to the agencies with the ability to integrate those factors, for example, cost, consultant tax and pensions issues versus hospital infrastructure required for the retention of consultants and specialists. Trust to say that regional assistance from other trust areas are the means by which to offset the impact of the proposed changes at the AC level. What specific assistance has been requested of the Southern Trust among commitments of assistance from the trust to be able to pay? And some trust will lobby the Department of Health and the UK government for enhanced remuneration packages for specialists at the Daisy Hill Hospital. And if so, when were most recent representations made and what was the response to them? Those are just some of the questions. I think our own would have been here or something that he says 37 questions. Yeah, I'd be very grateful if we sent those to you in writing. If we get responses to them, it was the most right that looked at the time we have tonight. We get all those answers and those questions have come from conservatives that have been raised by constituents right across the district and from more and right down to South Park Manage. So, thank you very much.
Councillor Hannah, you have a question?
It's bringing gravity to Marina. I'm asking my colleagues in the council chamber here trying to stabilize in town. So, my party has been working very hard on this over the last period of time, so I haven't seen that anybody else. Would you agree with me that this stabilizing town is a very short term? Get out of bed for what you could see just ahead there. So one of my other colleagues plans the Christmas, I don't know they have the worst Christmas and the bride go by, it's going to get a lot worse. If I get a fire plant in fact at the moment, is there any point in time when we do actually see that they will get the procession, or we will not be on this procession at all and they'll basically come to the back where it should be? Just on this as well, this time last month I did very seriously that and then I got the hospital to study there. When I went to the home doctor in Tintin, I said I need to be in the hospital. And I decided, rang with him for an ambulance, I did, and told me every 4 hours, so I went and went to the hospital. I had a skill there with speeches. She took me to the hospital. By the time I got to the hospital, nearly almost too late for me, so it was. So that's what I'm saying. I think the damage is doing me sort of out today. That's another problem there. It's been going over the last number of years, it's getting no better, so it's just getting worse. I know it isn't really important to say it's safety, but when there's a hospital, what else could you get in Patrick? But it doesn't, the open are going to be suitable for what I needed. So I just decided to go to the Craig Avenue in the hospital because the other point that I meant to you is, in the community, so there is demand. How would they put the confidence in the Disney Health Hospital is declining simply because of all this media coverage and everything else has happened. So they actually have a problem there. If you like to say you go to the Gavin Hospital, and I was very fortunate about it. I got there, I think Disney Health will get everybody's here, so we've got a problem with having to transfer to the Gavin at the end of it all. So instead of just end points, one, the couple of things here we have, you talk about domiciliary care, it's exactly the momentary care. You know, is that trust domiciliary care, or is it just care that's throughout the through all the different organisms? That's ones in 18 body working, they're private ones. You talk also about the bed knowledge is there, that's something coming from the domiciliary care, there are new care packages that can be put into place, but that will be correct.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you, Chair. Well, I would say that they will take a store of functioning executives. This situation clearly demonstrates that there is no time. I'd also like to repeat that it seems that Dr. Mary O'Keefe and other senior leadership team are being unfairly targeted. Because this situation is an epic due to the wider political failure of two transforms in Sengola and beyond. I think it's important that we all must remember the following. The stark options facing health and social care systems are either to resist change and see services deteriorate to the point of collapse over time, or to embrace transformation and work to create a modern, sustainable future service. Alliance of the Party wants to see the retention of hospital services that meet appropriate standards of patient and clinical safety and the enhancement of services as part of the overall hospital reconfiguration design process. Thank you.
Just to ask Marian to come in and comment on those questions.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully the sound wasn't so clear, so if I haven't picked these up properly come back to me. I start and then the others can join in. So I think in relation to Councillor Savage's query about the 134 and the 104 beds, so the commissioned level of beds previously was 104 beds. What we've done is we anticipate that with rehabilitation beds and everything else, we will probably be taking about 14 beds out of that system. But what we've done to offset the impact of that, now bearing in mind the average length of stay of a patient, unless they're delayed discharge, in which case it can run on for a long time, is usually about 6-7 days, right? So what we aim to do then, and what we've aimed to do through acute care at home, the extension of the domiciliary care, the ambulatory care unit that does same-day assessments and discharge and gives people their diagnosis and treatment on the same day, plus the extension of the emergency department, is that we have built all of that and more into the system in terms of our modelling with the figures of all of that to offset the loss of those beds, right? So it's really important in terms of the right patient at the right time in the right place by the right professionals, that we do not think about that just being about beds. If we were in Canada, the Netherlands, anywhere in the world that has much better health outcomes than we have, they don't always tie patients to beds to treat them. And that's really important to understand. Okay. So I do appreciate the anxiety around the change in number of beds, but what we've also got to concentrate on then is what we've put in place to offset that so that fewer patients actually need a hospital bed and actually can do better as a result. The HDU beds then have been mentioned again, and Trudy will want to talk about IPC because she's our absolute expert on IPC. But certainly from our point of view, and you know, we're not in the middle of a COVID upswing at this point in time. And obviously, you know, this can change from day to day. And we're always very cognizant of any kind of outbreaks that we have. And even before COVID, that was things like novavirus and, you know, flu outbreaks and all of those kind of things. But certainly from our point of view, from a safety point of view, we feel it's better to try and concentrate our expert staff in the same area, if possible, to look after patients so they can support each other. So that has been part of the rationale behind bringing all of those beds together on the one floor. But again, you know, Trudy can talk to the detail in relation to all of this. You mentioned as well then in relation to the trends in relation to the consultants who left. And there were a variety of reasons. And again, we have asked two retired experts, one a retired chief executive, the other a retired medical director, to help us undertake a review with some of our staff to understand what brought about the changes. But you did mention some of the issues in relation to that. So the pension taxation part that you mentioned, we have no control over that as a trust. That's completely central government. You know, it has been really challenging for people, I think, to manage, particularly when on top of their ordinary tax bill, they have been getting significant tax bills in recent times that have been really difficult to manage. So, you know, that is without our control in many ways. What we've done is try to work flexibly with people to try and, you know, alleviate the impact of that. But we can only do so much, unfortunately. But, you know, we can't always offset all of that. In relation to the other aspects of that, in terms of what they've told us that, you know, would help to keep Daisy Hill, you know, extremely viable and improving all the time, is to add additional clinical space, better car parking, the development of an MRI, all of those things that we're in the process of doing. The problem is we haven't been quick enough for some of the people who, you know, who wanted to leave. So, and we get that. But we're certainly working away on it now. And I mean, this was the first opportunity that we've had to have an MRI scanner on site, and we took it as quickly as we possibly can. It's costing £75,000 plus a month, but we feel it's definitely the right thing to do. And again, we're funding that. In relation then to the regional assistance and specifically what that actually looked like, the most of that is that, and we've had to learn from other places in relation to this, you know, whether that was SWAR or Causeway or other places that have also found themselves in similar difficulties at different times, is that whatever we can do and change the way we work internally is a lot more sustainable than actually bringing people from the region. Okay, because if you're used working in the Royal or the City or Antrim, you know, actually moving into another hospital to do parts of your working week in that is really challenging because you're constantly having to work with different staff and everything else. So the advice that we were given in relation to this was, you know, if we could attract people in from other places, that would be good. But actually what probably would be more sustainable would be for us to look at all the you know, the various facets of any consultant's work to see if we could offset that in some way. So in relation to supervision, training, some of the administration side of things that they're involved in, we have taken a lot of that off our consultants on the Daisy Health site. And again, we've involved other people to help teach and train and all of that. And that will be starting to take legs, hopefully, over the next few weeks to try and improve and all of that. We also got, as you know, we got support from NIMDA in relation to this, and that they allocated all of our junior doctors. One of the areas that there's still an area of concern around is the registrar rota, which is the level of doctor just below the consultant. But that is a perennial problem for us. That's not new this year. That has been going on for a while. And again, Stephen can talk to that a bit more in terms of some of the discussions we've had around that. But we are in the process of recruiting out the end of the rota, because we have it nearly full, but we haven't got it completely full at the minute. But this is not new to us. We have been in this position before. And then in terms of lobbying the Department of Health and our contact with them, certainly in recent times, that has been almost daily. And I was with the department this afternoon. We had a brief conversation again about some of the aspects of this, and, you know, a longer conversation about other aspects, particularly about stabilisation and, you know, how all of that fits together. So this is perpetually in their mind, and they're in constant contact with me about that. There was discussion there, Councillor Hanley, then, and I'm sorry to hear that you were unwell, but I'm glad to see that you've recovered, most importantly. I think you mentioned about the ambulance delays. And again, NIAS is without our control. I don't run NIAS, but they have challenges. And one of the biggest challenges that NIAS has at this point in time is that they are better staffed, they would say themselves, with crews and everything else than they were before, but they haven't got enough capacity. So I think their latest suggestion around all of this was that they would need an additional £40 million basically to get them up to the level of responsive capacity that they need for Northern Ireland. So again, part of the reason that we need an executive back is to help make those kind of bigger decisions around where money is spent, because again, that's absolutely key in terms of, you know, transferring patients quickly to hospital. So it's not down to specific shortages. They've maxed out in terms of what they can do, but if they had more investment, they believe they could put more crews on the road and they could actually expand on this, because they believe that they would be able to recruit paramedics to do this. Okay. So I think if you can lobby hard for that as and when we have an executive, that would be really, really welcome, because that would help everybody, and that would certainly help the public enormously. The media coverage in relation to Daisy Hill has not been helpful to us, right? And we've met with some of the local reporters, I think they have tried their best to be really balanced. But when we get things said like it's closing, when it's none of us, I mean, I have no idea where that comes from, because nobody in the trust that knows about the trust has ever said that. I certainly have never said it. That doesn't help. That undermines the confidence of the public in Daisy Hill. It also then puts staff off actually coming to work for us. So we've had staff who, you know, we've been in the process of recruiting, and they have said to us, because there's so much negative publicity around Daisy Hill in terms of this constant mantra about it closing, we're not content. We don't want to be in the eye of that particular storm. We have a choice to go somewhere else, and we prefer to take that, right? So I think it's really important, again, back to the impact of what's said loosely, it's really important that people are going to say things like that, that they actually back it up with evidence, right? And, you know, moving a ward is not evidence that a hospital's going to close. That's the first thing. The second thing is then in relation to, you know, what was mentioned earlier about, you know, giving an assurance around the emergency department. I mean, all that we have done in recent times is actually bolster the emergency department, between putting more beds around it and getting the MRI scanner there. I mean, that's all about its development rather than its diminution. So again, when all of this stuff starts about ED closing in Daisy Hill, that really undermines what we're trying to do. And it doesn't help us attract staff. The other thing that we noticed as well was there's a direct correlation between that actually being said publicly and actually then people choosing themselves, the public of Newry and Mourne choosing themselves to bypass Daisy Hill and go other places. And that then has an impact in terms of their waiting times in Craigavon, potentially, but also I think, you know, spreads a message around the fact that, you know, people aren't always confident that the emergency department would provide. And that is definitely not our experience. And we have a well-functioning, well-led emergency department that provides excellent care, and we would encourage anybody who needs it to use it. And all of this negative publicity around Daisy Hill has meant on occasion that people have driven on past it to Craigavon, and we know that for a fact, rather than actually use Daisy Hill. Okay. I think then in relation to the comment about the domiciliary carers, we have employed those. They will be trust employees. I think, as we know, one of the biggest challenges facing domiciliary carers is the level of, and this is a regional issue, is the level of pay. And certainly, you know, the cost of living has gone up. These are among some of the lowest paid workers in the sector. There's significant shortages across all other sectors, you know, particularly hospitality and some, you know, some of the other care industries that we would compete with. So they have a lot of choice, and we have a lot less control over paying conditions than some of the other areas would have. So we know that we're competing. So, you know, what we try to do, and again, part of my discussion with the department earlier today was around how do we professionalise this and give people who come in through domiciliary care or other areas to support the work, you know, of patients in the community, is how can we support in terms of education, you know, career opportunities, all of those kind of things to try and offer people as professional an opportunity as possible. And we are actively working on that with our, you know, third level education colleges and other places to try and help us with that. And in relation then to the comments then that Councillor Tunzel made was in relation to the stark options that are available to us. And I think that's right. I think we are facing into a horribly difficult winter, not just in Daisy Hill, but everywhere, in terms of the finance and some of the key decisions that have to be made about not just the modernisation of Daisy Hill, but the modernisation of the health service across Northern Ireland. And, you know, we as chief executives with our senior leadership teams can go some way to actually managing that locally. But we do need regional, you know, a regional executive really to help us with that. Otherwise, I think as we come closer into the winter, this is going to become increasingly difficult. And also, I mean, we see the difficulties they're having in England, even with the NHS 75 bonuses recently in relation to developing trust staff. We see how difficult that's going to be because paying conditions haven't been sorted out. And certainly in terms of the budget we've been given and the budgetary deficit that we have, we do not have funding to give people pay raises to bring them into line with inflationary demand. So this is going to be stark, as was described earlier. So I would encourage a return to the executive if possible. Trudy, do you want to maybe add something in there just about the HDU and infection prevention control, if that's okay?
Okay. So in relation to HDU, this is part of the temporary stabilisation plan, but the same standards will be expected in relation to hand hygiene, personal protective equipment, decontamination of the environment and equipment, management of devices such as urinary catheters and intravenous lines, and those will be monitored by the ward staff themselves who routinely do this, and also by the infection prevention and control team to ensure that those standards are maintained. So the expectation is that the standards would be maintained with any temporary relocation of the high dependency unit.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully that answered the questions, if I heard them properly.
Councillor Finn.
Thank you, Chair. Just in terms of future planning for the hospital, which I think is something that a lot of people in the area have said, communication and like what's happened with the hospital has led to a lot of confusion. So in terms of the three plans that we have, and obviously the stabilisation plan is in place at the minute, I was wondering if we get an update in relation to the winter plan. Obviously, it's not actually that far away from recorded. And in particular, the long-term plan, I was wondering if we could get assurances that we were faced by with that, and then we get an update on the work that is happening here. And just in relation to the strengthening requirements that are going to be required for the winter plan and the long-term plan, if you could get just, I suppose, an update to say that recognise them being our staff, but then also having to ensure that those are going to be able to be enacted.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I've two of the same part for them, but I'm just trying to make a bit of a negative comment in. At times I agree with you, it's not helpful, but you can also remember that elected reps are there as vices for people, and some of that commentary, a lot of that commentary comes from within staff, within the single trust of which there has to be a level of responsibility for staff, because we're equitable. As the sentiment that people face there, there's clearly a disconnect between some membership staff and some of us, and let's hear that as a senior management. Even we talked about, I mentioned last week, I talked about the opportunity of people to work in positive trust, and to work in the gardens, and work in the community, and it looks like advice for people to work elsewhere, but at that stage, to work in Daisy Hills. So there clearly is some sort of stigma with the staff, some concern with the staff negatively, and the staff is there to select the reps to be advised to that, and I do agree that some things the advice are over the staff level. So I think that's something that I believe that's not important. I have a particular question in terms of some of the changes that were made at the last year or so, which one can be changed from the changes going forward. What rumors and practice assessment was done, if any, and can you talk on the business that was identified from any rulings in assessment and mitigations that were put in place? And that follows on to go into the second question, which is the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service Corps. We had met with Michael Bloomfield a few months ago now, 4 months ago, probably, and he were advocating on the temporary changes at the time that Southern Trust had resulted in his words in a 26% decrease in the road ambulances. We really have the most related things that are ambulances in the area that I represent in South Armagh. And that obviously followed up, because obviously where you've got ambulances passing more people between the hospital sites and being backed up. And I fully appreciate the last week and saying we had a bit as well following on. So I think it's worth your talk about what you're able to find the best out of the middle square. Is that you're building your talk of it, and I'm going to clarify the numbers that you have there. And obviously, it's moving from 24 hours, so just beginning the day. And that would be fine. I know we said that Michael Bloomfield is aware of that. But does that go far enough to reduce the effect, the negative effect that it had on the on-road ambulances? I'm not saying that all the 26% decrease in on-road ambulances all directly from the temporary changes made, but it wasn't on the land here. So you can tell us that the measures that you've taken would revert that. Because when are you going to compare it to the previous levels? We need to compare levels to the real things.
And those two questions are related to starting out specifically.
Councillor, back to you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and the first question, just bring back to your comment that you made, saying that the HDU medical board, just maybe being something that worthy of the medical also comes with the stroke unit. Where did they move to? It's just second question is the process has stated that these are going to be a part of the Hugh Hospital network. And so as a result of this in that we're being in a huge hospital in its own right, or is it just a part of the network? I think that particularly that would indicate that the first care centers which would do network center. And the last question, an observation made by medics that I know personally, who recently department directives as medics, witnessing a few of chaos, comment made back to me was that we know the evidence of any leadership there. Nobody organizing them. Patients with devices virtually. I've been that that's here in London. It's thread with human dignity, proper organization. Like this is medics, publishing, observing, and it could be like your comments.
Yeah, I'm just going to let Councillor Finnegan come back in with one last question.
Apologies. I have a question. How is the pathway set up for a stroke patients in South Armagh? I do believe Maria, you've done a good job at explaining the plans and complaints, but I don't think I can confidently go back to constituents or staff of DAP Hill and give them the answer. I had some people say Armagh would take into consideration here, and would you agree that consideration needs to be given, that if we don't get an ambulance on time, say if somebody takes a stroke tomorrow, as we tomorrow take a stroke and they ring an ambulance, the wait goes up to an ambulance well over half an hour, and then takes over half an hour to get to Craigavon. Do you think that that is acceptable, that you know, that if they do need that medication, that they will not get it within the hour? Thank you.
Okay, so I will start at the top here again with Councillor Finn, you see. Okay, so in terms of the future plans, I mean, the winter plan, as I say, we're in the process of developing, and this is regional, you know, along with the other trusts. We all do this at this time of the year in terms of working our way through this. So those conversations have begun, and we should have that finalised over the next 8 to 10 weeks. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is that I think in terms of the future plan for Daisy Hill, obviously we will not do that on our own. There's a regional blueprint that's been developed in relation to all the hospital network across Northern Ireland. And again, what we would want is feedback from, you know, our staff, the public and others in terms of what the future of Daisy Hill looks like. So, you know, we will move into that space again in the autumn time, when we have the winter plan finalised, to then start to do the work around the future of Daisy Hill in relation to wider context. So, you know, I would hope that some of the people around here would be involved in all of that and given feedback in relation to all of that. Councillor Burns then makes the comment about the disconnect between senior management and some of the staff. We have 15,500 staff in the Southern Trust, and again, I think it's impossible to have conversations with everybody every day. And I think, you know, given the level of communication and everything else that goes on across the trust, I completely accept that not everybody will have the same you know, level of information on any given day, and the lack in that, you know, the lack and the gaps in that at times, I think, certainly has led to anxiety. And, you know, that's the bit I worry about, is we try our best to communicate back and forth as much as we can. But unfortunately, because of the size of the organisation, it's impossible to make sure that everybody gets all the information at the same time. But, I mean, we will keep working on that, because we realise that communication is key. And that, you know, getting the message out across 15,500 staff is really challenging. And I think, you know, it's not consistent. I mean, in the last few weeks, we have appointed 3 consultant paediatricians and 3 consultant anaesthetists to Daisy Hill. They see it as a great place to work. You know, overall, since the beginning of last year, I think I said at Trust Board, we'd appointed 268 staff to that site, you know, nurses and other people. So, I mean, it is very attractive. People like coming to work there. But again, you know, we are aware that, you know, we are, you know, there's delays at times in terms of getting communication up and down. So hearing and responding. So we completely get that. And certainly in terms of some of the work that's been done over the last few weeks to, you know, help reassure staff, we've put in human resources hubs every day so that people can have those conversations. And those have been really interesting, because again, some of the rumours and speculation that have come up through this, you know, the hub process has been interesting from our learning point of view, because, you know, it's an indication to us about how, you know, and people's anxieties then can lead to all kinds of thoughts about things. And again, that's an opportunity for us to try and keep people right. So hopefully that's on. The rural needs assessment, as you know, wouldn't be done, you know, when we have an emergency change such as we've had recently, that wouldn't normally be done automatically as part of a rural needs assessment. But certainly in terms of the longer term plan and the future of Daisy Hill, it will be done, you know, as part of the process in relation to all of that. And then NIAS, and I know NIAS has been mentioned a couple of times. The single biggest thing across Northern Ireland, without doubt, that would help NIAS, the only thing that will help NIAS is getting people discharged from hospital, right? Because part of the reason that NIAS is delayed with those big ambulances outside emergency departments is because we can't get the patients out quickly enough out of the emergency department to allow NIOS to offload the patient and get away again, right? Now, we've done, every trust in Northern Ireland has done this, every trust in Northern Ireland. I mean, we saw the major incident with Antrim earlier in the year. We all know what this looks like. The single biggest thing that keeps ambulances delayed is not being able to get people discharged from hospital. So anything at all that you can do to try and encourage people to leave hospital safely will save lives in the community. I can't put it any more strongly than that. And it's absolutely key that we try and get as many people as possible as quickly and as safely discharged as we can, because that will get the public into the emergency department in an ambulance much quicker. OK, so that has to be the message. And we can increase the number of ambulances, which, again, would be helpful. But actually, the single biggest thing we could do today is to drive, the opportunities for discharge. OK, now, in terms of, I will let Trudy talk about the HDU and soak unit because she understands that better than I do. Daisy Hill is an acute hospital. It also has to be part of the acute hospital network, because if you come in requiring something that can only be done in Belfast, if you've got a fracture and it needs to be addressed and you can only go to Craigavon, then it needs to be part of a network so that actually you can be safely dealt with throughout the entire system. And I have an excellent working relationship with the chief executive colleagues across Northern Ireland. We work as a team and certainly we'll constantly try and make sure that patients are provided for across all of the hospital networks. So that's why it has to be an acute hospital in its own right, but it also has to be part of a bigger network in order to support it. And there was mention there about, human dignity in the course of particularly last winter, I think, whenever we had so many patients in the emergency department. Again, the delays were mostly driven by the delays in discharge, right? And in terms of the chaos and leadership that was mentioned, the leadership within medicine comes in two directions. So it comes up through the medical leadership system. And we've had senior leaders in Daisy Hill and continue to have senior leaders in Daisy Hill who have been senior clinicians, and it also comes up through the managerial route, right? So again, I'm not sure of the specifics, but certainly I would imagine if they were making reference to that, it's not clear whether they were talking about a chaos in clinical leadership or operational leadership. So I think it's important that, again, we will understand that, but certainly, again, saying about chaos and leadership just doesn't give me an inroads into what they thought was going on. Okay. And then in relation to outcomes, in relation to stroke patients from South Armagh, again, back to the NIOS situation. If we can get patients safely discharged, then we can create capacity in our emergency departments. We can allow the ambulances to get them in a bit faster. And certainly you can be lysed, for up to 4.5 hours after the onset of symptoms. So again, it's not back to an hour, it's 4.5 hours. Just to reassure people that that those are the figures that we would work to. Trudy, do you want to speak about the HDU and the stroke unit?
Okay, so I find it hard to hear, but in general, the high dependency beds will be on the medical floor in the short term as part of this stabilisation plan. And within the work that we did with our consultant colleagues, we felt the numbers of beds that we had, when we take into consideration all of the new pathways, the ambulatory pathways, the short stay emergency department ward, the increase in domiciliary care and the increase in acute care at home, would mean that patients would either have admission avoidance or expedite early discharge with acute care at home, our ability to return to a hot clinic to have bloods checked or a doctor to see you a few days after discharge would mean that we shouldn't need the same volume of beds that we historically have had. This is all about making sure that the patients are cared for in the right place at the right time. So the number of beds within the acute medical ward with the high dependency beds is what we think we need to manage service at this stage. And then obviously we'll be working on our winter contingency plans going forward. In relation to the rehabilitation beds, we are working our way through with our elderly care consultants and the rehabilitation team to see what the optimum number of beds will be for that unit. And we will staff that to meet the requirements of the patients. But again, rehabilitation in your home environment or close to home in another care setting is equally as good, if not better, for some patients. And therefore, again, it's important that we don't have too many beds for patients become deconditioned even during their rehabilitation period. So those bed numbers will be finalised in the next day or so.
Stephen, I don't know if you want to just quickly add anything in there at the end before we finish.
Yes, thank you. I suppose the key thing, I suppose, is we do continue to make efforts to try and recruit doctors, and we're looking both locally and also internationally potentially as well to try and even get doctors to support Daisy Hill. So that work is ongoing, and we're taking strenuous efforts to look at that. So it's really to assure you that we are actively recruiting, and that is an ongoing continuous process.
And I think back to what Councillor Savage mentioned, I think at an earlier stage as well, I'm sorry the sound on this is a bit wobbly, so I may not have picked everything up, but we have a fact sheet that we could certainly send around that, you know, addresses a lot of these questions, so that might be helpful as well. So we, Andrea, maybe if we could take that back as well, if that's okay, we can get that circulated to you. Okay.
Just
three
more quick questions.
Sure.
Thank Councillor Finn.
Sorry, we have another meeting to go to, if that's okay. We were supposed to start, I think, at 6 o'clock, so we're happy to take a few more questions and then finish, but we have other meetings after this tonight.
That'd be very quick.
Yeah, thanks. It's just in relation to a question that I had asked initially in relation to staffing levels, that just to confirm if you have adequate staffing levels for both the winter plan and the long term plan, and if there aren't the staff
so I think when we get to the point of doing the plans and working our way through those, we'll be clearer about that. But I think until we have, you know, until we're clear what those look like, I think it would be impossible to answer that question.
Councillor Burns?
Yeah, I'll be very quick. Again, Maria, it's about the question I asked, the direct question, but the general response. For the model of the rural needs, I understand fully, before I ask the question that in emergency situations, there is a need for assessment, but obviously, proposed things that they propose us for the future as well, and from the plan, from the long term plan, would be great if there's no consideration of impacts on the rural needs. So, that is the market. My direct question was, what it was about ambulance call. I asked about the amount of vehicles that you have now in your Dublin, your stock, what that amount is. And I quoted that there was a 26% decrease in your ongoing ambulances because of temporary measures that were brought in by some trusts that affected NAS themselves. Has mitigation measures that you put in now, going 24 hours to increase your stock, going to bring that back down to reduce that 27%. I understand the next thing you do is get people in hospitals, but that change that was made with some trust for a temporary period had resulted in that negative impact on pay as well. I know it's a big investment.
Mr. Savage.
Yes, Chair, it's really, yeah, it's all in the numbers, effectively. For example, what are the numbers in this area we can put in? Would that give us an indication of work in progress that you're involved in? For example, it was long in 34 last week. I know there's going to be a tendency for yourselves to refer to commission numbers because that's what you're commissioned to do. But the implications of the legal realities in there, I think there are only 34 last week, any more than today, and whether we're going to take that effectively down by 50. Patients effectively opening, if that's what you're looking to do, I think that we need clarity on quickly that's going to be done and how it's going to be done. Is that data going to be getting people out of beds, out of hospitals? Or maybe I'm just not getting where these people manage from. I can understand looking up at BS longer than four, but the reality is not going to be 34, so I'm just keen to know where those 30 patients are.
Can I suggest the answers to these questions are quite long and we honestly don't have the time because we're now 15 minutes late for another meeting. So could I suggest we've got notes of that and we'll come back to you? That might be more straightforward because I'm not, even if they were put in writing and sent to us, because I'm not sure we even picked them up because the sound quality's not brilliant.
So thank you once again for joining us.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. All right. Good night. Bye-bye.
I can't believe that was changed. I'm sorry, this guy's got a chat. That's good.